Power 98.7 Podcast.
Ethiopia, the home of coffee, the only African country never to have been colonized. Now, in 1896, at the Battle of Adwa, Ethiopian forces led by Menelik III defeated the Italian forces. Less than 70 years later, in Addis Ababa, would then be the host on 25th May 1962 of the first sitting of the Organization of African Unity. The nation has taken many faces since then, from a Marxist dictatorship to a bread case of the world, to now a rising positive growth story on our continent. This speaks to the resilience of the Ethiopian people. And joining me now on the line is our resident regional analyst, Siyapi Niza, to talk briefly about this great empire and great East African nation. Good evening, Siyagunjan.
Good evening, Aya. Well, thanks, and yourself?
Good. Now, Ethiopia, Siya, was the host of the first OAU meeting in 1962. And since then, I'm quite interested what their role was from 1962 onwards in the anti-colonial and pan-Africanist movements of the 20th century. We do understand, of course, that the 20th century, least of all on our continent, was the site of many anti-colonial struggles. And even here on the south of the continent, the fight against colonialism and the fight against apartheid. What is the role of Ethiopia in some of these anti-colonial movements?
Sure. Well, you must remember that Ethiopia remains the shining light, the beacon in Africa in terms of not being colonized and not being tainted by the terrible history that happened through colonization, and it still is the headquarters of the African Union, which succeeded the OAU.
Yes.
But for the last 25 years, the country has really been challenged. A decade ago, has been challenged by getting out of abject poverty and inequality in its economy.
Mm.
But in recent years, they've been able to really come up tops. In fact, quite recently, their GDP in terms of output has exceeded that of Kenya. And Kenya, for a long time, has been the leading economy in Eastern African region. So historically, the country is still that beacon of hope, and it still is an ambassadorial sign or symbol, in Africa. But really, the glory of Ethiopia started rebounding or recovering in the last 10 years, because prior to that, they were struck with severe droughts and famine, and poverty was really stricken the country very badly. But recently, they've come out of that, and they're boasting 10% growth for the last decade, which was bumped down last year due to the drought to about 6.5% of GDP. So the country has really come up on top.
But before we get to the positive story of that kind of double digit growth, and even though it was sort of adjusted downwards for the drought, there was a large period in time in the history of the world where, if you spoke about Ethiopia to anybody, the common refrain was that you're talking about a bread case. You're talking about a country where, people come in, they take pictures of young children with flies over their faces. You talk about any kind of health scare and poverty challenge. Ethiopia was the face of that. During that period, what was the political or political economy of Ethiopia like?
Sure. Well, during that period, it was a unitary state, and also it was faced with a lot of contagion in terms of the violence in the region from some of its neighbors, from the south and towards, the east, Sudan. Some of these countries have got, very unstable economies and governments themselves. So really, the main features of it was the issue of struggling with coming out of the drought and having a unitary state that really couldn't reach to all parts of the nation, because Ethiopia is a very diverse country. The population has about 80 different ethnic groups which live in harmony in the country. But, under the unitary state, there were challenges with reaching out to certain parts of the country, as well as making sure that all needs are met. And since then, the government has really tried to change the governance since the 2001 when the Ethiopian People's Revolutionary Democratic Front took over power and reinstated a federal government instead of a unitary government. However, the challenge is that What they have as a result of the federalization of government is that the provincial government is really aligned with ethnic lines. Mm. And as a result, there's been a lot of tension despite the attempt to move from a unitary government to a federal government in order to access more of the people,
yeah,
to ensure that public services are taken out to the people. The challenge has been that the federalization has been along ethnic lines. Mm. And the other challenge is that the ruling ethnic group, the Tigrayan, are really a minority group.
Yeah.
And this is what has also led to a recent public protest against the government on unequal economic opportunities and sacrificing of people's land for investment, etc.
Mm.
So the challenge has been that the government has moved from a unitary government to a federal government, but the challenge is that what's resulted is that the federal government has been along ethnic lines, which has led them to something quite similar to a Bantustan type of governance, mm, like what we had in South Africa.
I'm joined on the line by Siya Piniza, a resident regional analyst, and we're discussing Ethiopia. Talking about the history of the country, its political economy, and some of the challenges that the country has faced. Certainly encouraging you to weigh in on our conversation. Reach out to us on our lines on 0861-987-000, 0861-987-000. Now, Siya, on the infrastructure front, certainly over the last decade or so, if you speak to anybody who has gone to Ethiopia or who comes from Ethiopia, there's always this overriding sense that you know, the Ethiopian government, least of all since the time of Meles Zenawi, has ensured that the country characteristically becomes a building site. So this sort of scaffolding all over the place, a lot of infrastructure investment, largely investment aimed at connecting road, rail and air. And if you think about Ethiopian Airlines, for instance, it's probably at this point in time one of the best airlines in the global south, if not the world. How much of the future story, how much of the future positive story of Ethiopia is going to probably be attributed to that kind of foresight of actually saying, let's create the basis from an infrastructure perspective to ensure that our economy is able to crowd in some of the investment that's needed to ensure that Ethiopia becomes a shining light in the East African region?
No, definitely. I think Ethiopia's recent success, it owes purely to, you know, concerted government action. The government has really taken on a developmental state type of role, you know, in the economy, and has driven a lot and tried to coordinate, you know, private sector and private interests around the national interest of development and investment and, you know, infrastructure development primarily. But this is also because, you know, the Ethiopian population, as I said, is very diverse. So it really needs a very central type of state to lead and provide that leadership that's necessary. But, you know, some of the challenges is that, as always, the benefits of, you know, state-led development don't always accrue equitably throughout the population.
Mm.
Obviously, those most closest to the state and power will be the most benefits for, you know, as a result of this growth and state intervention.
Mm.
But really where the government has succeeded is in establishing an industrial base in Ethiopia. And it's really achieved, you know, quite miraculous growth in terms of industry.
Mm.
In fact, for the last 5 years, industrial growth in Ethiopia has been double digits, above 15% per annum. And this trumps any other, you know, country on the continent in terms of industrial growth. And this is also a positive because it reverses the current trend we're seeing elsewhere on the continent.
Yes.
Everywhere else on the continent, we're seeing a growth of services and a growth of retail and, you know, tourism sector, which are sectors which have slow income growth.
Mm.
So the positive of the industrial growth in Ethiopia is that if this continues, we're likely to see incomes growing in Ethiopia. We're likely to see much more equitable distribution, as well as their exports are likely to stabilize because they're diversifying outside of commodity exports now in terms of coffee and agriculture exports to much more industrial or produced goods, which is a very good, you know, stabilizer for your exports as well as the currency exchange rate.
And in addition to that, Siya, seemingly one of the other exports that Ethiopia has is its human resources. Just 2 days ago, Ethiopia's Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus Very difficult one to say that. He was elected the head of the World Health Organization, the first African to hold that kind of position. So certainly Ethiopia, not only diversifying its economy beyond just a reliance on commodities or even leapfrogging to services, but also earmarking its own people as one of its greatest assets, and certainly sending some of those to the multilateral institutions. So yeah, I'd like you to just hold tight for us for a second while we check out what's happening on the roads with JD Ntega.
You're listening to Power Hour.
5 to 6 p.m.
We are indeed talking. It's now 4 minutes to the top of the hour, wrapping up our conversation with our resident regional analyst, Siya Pineza. Siya, we started touching towards the end of our conversation before we went to traffic on some of the issues on the political spectrum in terms of the polity of Ethiopia. On the downside, we've heard over the last few months or so, wide-scale protests and a large crackdown on dissent within Addis Ababa and some of its surrounding areas. What is the sense, if we are to say, for instance, that Ethiopia is a developmental state, a very state-centered one at that, and we've seen in the past, for instance, in East Asia, that often the developmental states weren't probably the people who are most fond of democratic rule and democratic processes and the free sort of debate and engagement around ideas. What is your sense about the democratic profile of Ethiopia and the likelihood that it's probably going to have going forward, not only just on the economy of Ethiopia, but on society as a whole, coming from the history that they come from?
Sure. Well, currently Ethiopia is in eighth month of emergency rule, which was activated late last year in October.
So like a state of emergency.
Widespread process, yes. So when that was activated by parliament, that allowed the military to then crack down and arrest. And in fact, the arrests have been, counted at about over 20,000 people have been arrested. And just now in March, the government then voted again to extend the state of emergency by a further 4 months. The challenge is that, as most developmental states, the characteristics of a developmental state is that it's a strong state, so it's not a weak state, and it can coordinate its policy. On top of it, it's not influenced by private, economic or private interests generally. And what tends to interest it is much more on national interest. Mm. Now, the question becomes when, the two majority groups in terms of the ethnic groups in Ethiopia, the Oromia and the Amhara, are in protest against the government, arguing that, there have been unfair benefits in terms of economic opportunities, there have been, seizures of land in favor of investment, etc. That, that begins to question the worthiness of the national interest that is being pursued by the state. But challenges with unrest and public protest is not new to developmental states, as these Southeast Asian examples show. Thailand, South Korea, they've all been through their own stages of having to repress public interest. But it's all part of coordinating and trying to consolidate a lot of private interests. I mean, if you're talking about 80 different ethnic groups, you're trying to coordinate all that private interest into the national interest. But then again, if the majority groups are in opposition with the national interest being pursued by government, this undermines it. And, the prolonged emergency rule, the state of emergency rule, is likely to have a negative impact on economic growth and investment. However, I think the Ethiopian economy has a lot of fundamentals that are in its favor, and like the example made of industrial growth, which means that once the unrest subsides, it'll be business as usual.
Siya, we'll have to leave it there, my brother, for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. That's our resident regional analyst there, Siya Pineza, talking about Ethiopia on this Africa Day, and no better country to speak of on Africa Day than Ethiopia. And that then signals the final whistle for Power Hour this week. You have yourself a great evening. Take strength, my Africa. Siyabonga le ikonomi.
Power 98.7. Now we're talking.